back. I will be glad if they don't write back. I won't be sad. I will not let those things drag me down.
That's my first two track set, man. That was Ant Whale, You and Me from, and then another one.
So we're live on CITR with The Magician. Hello.
Hello.
Nathan, do you want to quickly talk about yourself? About yourself, like the magician.
The magician.
What is the deal with the magician?
Okie Pete.
Are you really a magician?
I was. I mean, I guess I don't know. I have never really read the whole history of my band, but I was a magician when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And even after when I entered my first university, so I'd, you know, perform at restaurants and all that sort of jazz.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, did you start when you were really young? You got your first, you know, set of cards from your parents or something? How did that start?
I did when I was really young, and then it petered out for a while, and then, like, when I was a teenager, picked it up again, and when the possibility of, like, making some cash, and, like, I really got into it, like, legit. And I still love it. It's really geeky. Yeah. I still love it.
Do you still have all your gear?
I still got all my gear. Yeah, like, it was a kind of a philosophical thing where, like, there's certain people who do it really well, and there's some people who do it really, really poorly. And I think some guys, like, say, like, I've been to David Copperfield, and he's kind of cheese, but, like, the guy could bring tears to your eyes, and that's what it's about. And and some guys, it's different when you're just kind of getting, like, accosted at a restaurant table with a guy who's trying to pass time.
So what is your... What are some of your favorite tricks? Well, you don't have to explain how you do it, but I'm just interested. It's interesting.
Oh, wow.
I don't get to talk to, you know, a lot of magicians.
That's true. I imagine.
Like, what is your first... Okay, what is the first trick that you thought you did really well?
Oh, wow.
Your go-to one.
My go-to one. Yeah, that's fair. this is really goofy.
And you have to explain it on radio too.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about that with Irene, and I was like, "Oh, I wonder if I should bring a magic trick." And then you'd have to like just talk about it and give the play-by-play to everyone. I really like rope magic. It's like taking a piece of rope, and you know the classic: you cut it up and you restore it, because it's really visual and people can see it from a big distance. And it's something that like it's an experience that people. They know what a scissor and rope is. If you pull out a set of like linking rings and link them, like, what is that? What are linking rings? Or if you pull like this silk handkerchief, no one knows what that is, and they never used it. But like the kind of rope thing, it's real to life, and
that's a good answer. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay,
that totally makes sense. Because So what about things like because I guess all the magicians bring out like a big box with a chainsaw.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Like I just don't get it. Like the box is doing it.
Yeah.
I really like people who like either even like kind of like stuff where people do mind sort of magic is really appealing to me and that sort of stuff. So people that things that people can understand, like not some box with like some foreign script on it or something they pull out fake flowers.
And is Copperfield the only, you know, any other big magicians you've seen that you liked or?
I've seen Copperfield live, and I haven't seen any other fellows like really that I've really kind of touched.
Was Copperfield in Vancouver?
He comes periodically. I saw him like when I was in like grade 12 or something.
Okay. What did he do? Because he, to me, the only thing I know is that, you know, he always do these huge grand ones on TV. So when he does a show, is it only just like one or two tricks? Or does he go, look at my, does it look at my deck of cards? I don't know what it is.
No, this is a good question.
Yeah.
And I recommend you go and check it out yourself.
Yeah.
But
it's like $200, Bobby.
It is pretty smoking expensive, yeah. Like, it is a show of illusions, and there's, your fair share of, like, motorcycles popping out of whatever. Yeah. But, like, he's done a couple where, like, he would be telling a story about his grandfather's old car, his first car or something, and somehow, like, this crazy prediction of a license plate, let's say.
Yeah.
But he's created this kind of narrative that really draws you in, that it isn't about the magic trick, it's about his relationship with his grandfather. Or even one of the last ones, it was probably a bit hokey, but this father-son relationship sort of thing. Kind of brought together through this epic magic trick, but it was really good and really personal. So it wasn't just about him showing off. It was about kind of the human connections that people have.
Right. Okay, cool. We'll probably get off that topic for a little bit now. So do you find any similarities between playing live in front of people and performing tricks in front of, like music versus, or is it very similar?
I think it is similar. And I think in a sense, being a magician, it does kind of prepare you for public speaking and being in front of people.
Do you just find that you like performing in front of people no matter what, or is more of the, cause some people just like performing for the sake of performing.
Yeah. I mean,
or is it maybe a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both, cause I do enjoy performing, and I enjoy there's something aspect of magic or music that is really fun to create kind of this, just a good atmosphere for people to have fun. The one thing that is very goofy about performing, no matter what, I think, is always, like, even especially with friends, like, I don't like to go to a show, and when friends come, like, there's this weird performance, like, you are a performer and you're not their friend anymore for a moment, and like your relationship gets based on like them going to your show, and that whole night is about you, sort of, which is really weird to me. I'd rather just like go hang out with my friends and play cards rather than have them watch me do something.
Right.
I think that's weird.
Yeah, that is. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so now that we've heard a bit about you, do you want to play a few more songs and we'll come back and talk a bit maybe about the music you have out, albums and such?
Yeah, sure. I just dropped my sheet of my set list. I think I have three tracks for you coming up. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. We'll do a three track set so you know that's coming up.
Sweet. Live on CITR.
Thank you.
to sleep, and the only thing that's natural for me is to sleep, to sleep, and the only thing that I do well.
Magician live on CITR. Let's talk a bit about the album you have out.
Yes.
Who will cut your grass when I'm gone? My grass, your grass?
Your grass.
When I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
I worked as a landscaper. So okay. It's actually, you know, it's a the Unicorns album.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Reference to that, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
It is.
Are you a big fan of the Unicorns? Or do you just find that it's appropriate?
Pardon me?
Do you find it just appropriate title, or were you just a big fan?
Well, yeah, I was a big fan of the unicorns, and I thought it was appropriate because of my past experience in landscaping. I was a big fan, especially like that particular album as well. Yes. I think that was the only one that they released the EP. I think another single
That's the only one that I have. They probably have something else. I'm not super sure of it. Did you ever manage to see them when they were in town?
No, I think a bunch of friends did when they were with They Shoot Horses, Don't They, or something at the Ukrainian Hall. Wonderful show I heard, but I didn't get to see them.
Nice. And what are some of your other influences? Other bands that you liked or things in general that
I remember
your music?
I'd always played music when I was younger, and I never considered actually recording. But when I was just about to record, I was listening to a lot of just 60s pop music, like the Mamas and the Papas and the Beatles and the Beach Boys. Somehow my parents, like, they know this stuff, but they didn't listen to it in my youth, really. And it was like this weird rediscovering of, like, maybe like when I was 5 years old, I knew the songs. Then I started listening to them again when I was like 20, and I was really digging that just like real pop sound.
But your parents did listen to those.
Well, it's like they know it all, but they just like, because like they listen to like any like Christian praise music and or like hymns and Handled the Messiah when I was going through my youth, maybe just to make sure I stayed on the straight and narrow or something. I'm
not
sure.
They play in the house instead of, you know, the mama and the
papa. Yeah, but they all know this stuff. Like they grew up with it, and I remember like going in the car and listening to 650 and stuff, but not in the home. It was very strange.
Do they like what you're playing now?
I think they like it. They're kind of indifferent to it. They don't think I'm going to succeed. So I just keep on trucking and try to tell them any highlights that I have to convince them wrong. But it's okay. I mean, it's not like they're not supportive. Like, they're proud of what I'm doing, but they don't really get it. Like, they just think, you know, get a serious job, Nathan.
And the album was recorded with the help of Jay.
Yeah, huge help. I mean, I lived in Langley, and he lived in Langley. And I'd seen him playing with the Poison Dart at a couple shows, and I really liked what they were doing. And I knew Jay was an excellent drummer, and I knew he recorded as well. So I'm like, oh wow, I could maybe get the guy to record me and play drums on my album. He ended up playing a whole lot more than drums. And he was adding, like, we'd record, and the next day he had added guitar parts and beautiful harmonies on some tracks that I would never have envisioned. That was just it was a huge help from Jay.
Very nice. How long did the whole process take?
It was over the summer. Summer, I think, of 2007, and then into the fall, I think, and then it just took a while to get my brother to do the design, so just to get the whole package together. So then it got released, I guess, officially sometime in November 2008.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? And Jay ended up playing with you live at.
And that was really special too. Like, I've never played with a band, and that was like my first shows with a band, because I mean, I'd always just. Played myself and overdubbed, and even with Jay, I mean, we never actually really jammed much together, so that was really cool. And John Anderson played bass, and that was a really neat experience playing live.
Yeah, how much practicing was required for that set?
Well, it's like,
how much rehearsal did you do?
I remember I was talking when I went to I think it was the second show, that was when I had my first band, and I was talking to Shane Turner, and he was commenting that I had assembled a super group. And it's kind of true, because I mean, like, those guys are smoking players of whatever they do. And so, it took up like 3, maybe even 2 weekends where, like, they just pick up things so fast. And as long as I knew what I was doing, like, they picked it up so fast. And like, not just, like, playing the basics. Like, they were doing really cool stuff with it.
So now are you looking to maybe add people permanently or more?
I'm really lazy. And the thing is, like, it's really difficult. Because I'm studying in Abbotsford, and I don't have a vehicle. I take the bus or bike, and so like I borrow my uncle's vehicle whenever I need to get into a show to Vancouver. So it's really awkward to be practicing for shows are even awkward enough, and then to be practicing every week or whenever. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I think it's much better with a full band. It's a lot funner too.
And are there places to play in Abbotsford?
No. There's a couple, like, at our university, and there's kind of an eatery and lounge that's all right. But they used to have the McCallum Activity Center, which a lot of bands, like you say, Party, I mean, they're consistently coming through there, WCB. A lot of punk and metal bands play in Abbotsford, but that's been shut down, and this really...
What happened to it? Is there a story?
I think it might just be an old building, and they're kind of maybe... it might be part of the sort of revitalization of downtown they're doing. It's a bit off from there, but I think it was just getting old. I don't know the details, but it's really unfortunate because that was like the one place to go.
Yeah, because it's as you're saying, there's a lot of bands coming out of Abbotsford. You don't hear that about say Maple Ridge.
No, totally, right? Exactly.
So there must be something in my atmosphere to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that people try to figure out why. The Magician, live on CITR. You got more songs for us?
Sure. I'll just play two more and then take a break, and then I got two more after that, so four more tracks.
Yeah, sounds great.
What's happened to you, I know, but it's what we humans do. See you. See, like, take for instance that one. Like, it's a big song with a band. And it just seems so puny with just a piano and vocals.
We are back with Magician. We're talking about music and such. Thanks for coming out tonight. I was reading your MySpace page here.
Yes.
That's where I get all my infos from. Since you're a big board gamer.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, are we talking about Monopoly board game or more fancy ones like Ticket to Ride or
something? Ooh, yes, you're...
I don't, you know what, I don't know. I actually don't, but I'm really good friends with a girl and she's obsessed with it. She actually bought an Xbox so she can play those games.
Online? Really?
Yeah, Ticket to Ride is on there.
Carcassonne, probably. Carcassonne, yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Strangely enough, I was just like chatting with someone else as well today, and yeah, I was getting pumped about this. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, so it's not Monopoly. It's like there's like European board games. It's like Settlers of Catan, oh, then Carcassonne.
Yeah, those are all on Xbox.
Yeah. Oh wow. I don't know if I'd enjoy that as much.
Yeah.
It's just really weird.
Well, because she just moved somewhere else, and it's hard to find. It's hard to find people to play though.
Well, that's true.
It's always that easy.
Well, I've got a bunch of pals who like are willing to indulge. Well, I mean, we all enjoy it, so it's fine. It's definitely tough to bring in new people because they're quite like, for one, like those things are pretty complicated. So like to like lay down a set of rules for them, it's kind of daunting. But there's a bunch of guys that are willing to play.
And do you only like stuff that's really hardcore, or what about really simple games like just people play at parties like apples to apples?
Oh, I'm totally into that. Anything like. I don't know. That's how I get to know people, through playing games with them and chatting and laughing and, like, big party games. I'm all for it. That's what I do.
Yeah. what was it called? There was a card game that I played. It was kind of weird, like Munchkins or something.
Munchkins.
It's like a card game, and I don't know. It's sort of like, I don't know, you battle with anyways.
Okay, this sounds pretty sweet.
I know. And I can't describe it. You have... I played a long time ago while really drunk.
So Ben, you're not much of not like crib maybe or like that? Cribbage or
no, I've never. I played like really simple ones at parties when people play, but okay. I don't really. Just never, you know, not that, you know.
No, fair enough.
I probably would like it if I get around to it.
Yeah, but it's a bit.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's a task.
It's a task to get people into skill ready for it.
And again,
even poker, it's hard. Like I like playing poker, but
yeah,
just planning a night out to play that.
See, yeah, like. And that's another thing. Like, I don't have, like, this isn't helping my rep at all by, like, proclaiming my love for board games and Magic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
What about, like, Dungeons & Dragons?
I haven't gotten into it, but I bet if I did, I would like it. I just don't know. I just have never touched it. Like, I talk to friends who do it, it's, like, it's really appealing. But, again, that's a big, big setup sort of thing. You need, like, a story master and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you need a person to tell the story, and then he sort of runs the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally into that kind of stuff, I think.
I sort of know it, but just because I know a lot of people that play it. I just, things that I would probably like, but I just never go around to it.
Okay.
And sometimes I just play the computer version of it just because it's it's easier to be on a plane or something.
Yeah.
Or on the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, that's kind of off tangent, but it's all good. I mean, have you written any songs or anything about, you know?
I've written one about Magic, but it's kind of cheese. My brother told me not to play it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing something a little more like, you know, like actually not making more of magic, but you could like sing a song like "You've Got the Magic I Need" or something, which is a little more. I mean, that's probably been done before, but something along that theme. And no, I haven't touched the board game thing. I bet I could. Yeah, I haven't.
You can probably think of something.
Yeah.
And my other question for you is: the first time you play at Shindig, you have cardboard cut out of football players.
Yeah.
And is it just
Drew Bledsoe? It was.
Yeah. What was the genesis of that? What was the idea behind it?
My cousin Ruben, who's with me here tonight, has always complained that I never have a band, and right. I really need it because my shows aren't that great without a band. So it was kind of a joke with that. I had it for my C Really show. I had a bunch of those guys upstage. Actually, a friend of mine, Noel, had supplied me with like Eminem characters and Michael Jordan and Shaq and like everyone. And it was just kind of like a preposterous scene behind me, and then I just thought that we'd do the joke over.
I mean, would you do it again? Maybe just once in a while.
Yeah, I think if I went on tour by myself, I might just pack them along just for kicks, because it is.
Maybe you can drive an HOV lane also.
Yeah.
Would you be able to take a go on tour though with your setup. It's
can
you explain to the people out there what you are playing?
Yeah, I'm playing it's called the Super Genie organ, which essentially is just like any other electric organ that you'd find on Craigslist for free or $50. Like, you know, the big, just the home thing. It's not like a Hammond organ where it's like the, it's got bass pedals and two layers. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying to carry. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what I would do. Jay tells me I need to get just a good keyboard. But it's weird because once you've like made songs on this and you've created all your stuff on there, there's like these particular sounds that you think at least you need. And so it's really weird. You just get attached to it. And I don't want to get rid of it, but I know it's really impractical. And then I just have a keyboard on top of that for my piano sounds.
Right. Yeah. So you always require, that's why you have a,
yeah, my roadie.
Yeah. To help you with it. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to get up those stairs.
No, totally. Like, Shindig was awful. Yeah. I remember just, like, dreading coming back. Because it's really tight, because you can't actually, like... So one person's, like, bending over really low,
yeah,
while the other one's, like, carrying it by their chest. It was really awkward.
But you made it, though.
We did.
It makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And being that, it makes me go, oh. Because everybody knows you have to carry it up the stairs.
That's true.
So they go, oh.
Yeah.
We are live at CITR with The Magician, and you have a few more sounds for us.
Yeah, cool. Ride with a fly G. Yeah, you can't compare me. What you know about that? I know all about that. Like I don't know all about that. When I head downtown, the club it splits. When I enter it, everyone's like, that's the shit. When I kicks with my slacks, with my cardigan, yeah, I'm a 10.5 on a scale of 10.5. Da 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 da.
The Magician live on CITR. Thanks so much for coming out tonight.
Yeah, I really appreciate being here. Thanks for inviting me.
You have a show coming up.
Yeah. February 14th, is it? Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, yeah.
With Falco and Monashi. Am I saying that right?
Falco and Monashi.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had to, like, it's a Spanish thing where you have to pronounce the A and the O. They'd be like Falco, kind of? Or
let's call them Falco.
Yeah.
Maybe we've been doing it all wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I just saw the full set, the whole lineup, too. I just got that, like, the other day,
Who else is?
I think it's, like, Kidnap Kids and, darn it, there's a couple other ones. Okay. I don't know. Sorry.
So there's quite a few?
Yeah, I think five bands, even.
Very nice.
So that's good choice. Hokus.
It's a good place to go for, Valentine's Day needs.
Yeah, I don't know if people do that, kind of. We just go to a concert on Valentine's Day.
I've seen shows on Valentine's. It's good. I don't know.
I mean, I'm all right. I'm lonely. I don't ever know where to be.
Yeah, it's all good. And a website where people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, just my MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/themagicianmusic.
Okay, the Magician Music is the important part. And is your album, did it get off your website, give you a buzz, go to your show?
I guess best way to go to show is if I get out into Vancouver enough, then people can get it there. I'm going to try to get it at Zulu,
right.
And Red Cat and Scratch or wherever else I can. And then, it's available online as well through like a PayPal account.
Okay.
And that's really fun. I like doing mail outs and it's can, write letters if you want or something.
Okay. Awesome. Again, thanks for coming, Nathan.
Sweet.
The Magician.
Thanks, Ben.
Playing February the 14th. And yeah, the next time my friend Kimberly comes back to town, we can play Settlers of Catan.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'll give you a buzz.
Right on. You totally should.
I'm the game, do you? Or you can get a copy.
I've got a couple of those games. I don't think I have Settlers, actually. But,
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, right on. Thanks,
awesome.
Ben.
Awesome. This is CITR. We'll pop in some Apollo Ghosts to end the program.